We're holding a Kuf Lamed and with Kuf Lamed, and basically the point that he'd been saying till now was that the 10 Makkas have a certain Seder, and the what's so funny? The Seder of the 10 Makkas in the sense that actually we're holding Kuf Chavtes if you really want to the Seder of the Makkas is from outward inwards. Like for instance, if we were to demonstrate on a person's personality, there's skin deep, there is flesh deep, there's organ deep. In similarly, in a person's psychology, there are things that are on the periphery of what he cares about, and there are things that are more central, and things very central. So the Makkas went from the outside in. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu touched on things that were outside of them and not proactive, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed in further. Until finally, you get the Makkas Bechairis. So you get three divisions of three, and the way he explained last time, we won't be Ma'arich, until he gets to the last one. Now he's going to explain a little bit more about the last Makkah. As we said, there are three divisions. There's the Tzach, there's Adash, there's Bachav, and then there's the Makkas Bechairis itself. So he's going to explain the tenth one as being unique. V'royhu sheyu amakas nechlokim leilo shleisha chalokim. Hainu b'sholosh makas oshaynes lahoy yirei min ahefsit. Or b'sholosh makas emtzos yirei min ahefsit. The first one affected them, but they weren't scared of it being more proactive. The second ones already they were more scared. B'sholosh makas achaynes yonachshavim kmoi meisim nefsadim. The third category. Really, they thought their life was threatened. Ara maka achroni makas bechayus shekibla misa legamri. Vize kikvar amarnu hamakas elu itom miskav el Mitzrayim. The makas kept getting closer and closer to Mitzrayim. Vitomid hamaka rishoina hoise yoise rechoike mehem. The earlier maka is further away. Ara maka achroina sheshemagin latzma legamri. But the makas rishoina, which are the nine makas, that loya makas magin la'atzmon legamri rakadav shum mikra behem. So the outer layer is kind of incidental, and as you get in closer, you're hitting closer to the heart of what they are. Ulefika choya makos eser ki ha'etzem hu echad va'mikrim shem le'etzem hem tisha. So now he says the reason why he had 10 was because always the thing itself is one, and as the tenth, and the things around it on 9. Olafika chayutesha makis v'kulam le'magim at etzim Mitzrayim ad asiri shemagil atzmo legamri ki asiri hu etzim. Let's talk a little bit about this, because this is really the point that he's going to be talking about, that he means to make over here. Whenever we speak of numbers, 10 is always a special number, and the reason is basically let's take the Maral the way he explains it on Asar Mamoris Nivra Olam. The Maral says, it says the world was created with 10 mamaris. Valoi b'mayim echad yochol ibaris. So the Maral says there are three possibilities for how many mamaris you could have had. You could have had one mimer, you could have had more than one and less than 10, and you could have 10. And each one has a different significance. Let's take an example of what it means one, what it means many, and what it means 10. And let's take somebody asks you, how does a computer work? So you tell them it's very simple. It takes in information, processes it, and gives you the answer. So that's definitely true, but you probably understand about as much about computers after the statement as you did before the statement. I mean, I see big machine and or small machine and numbers coming in, numbers going out. I still don't understand anything about it. So just telling me that it processes information and delivers it to me is just restating, it's basically like saying a computer is a computer. That's one. I could sit down, and like one of the problems when you learn in school is, I could teach you about the binary system, I could teach you about logical circuits, I could teach you about recording mediums and so on, and I have a lot of knowledge, but it still doesn't. So how does the whole thing work together? How does the information get into the circuits, get processed, and so on? And then I put together a picture, and I look at the whole picture together, and now I understand how a computer works. The same thing, a person is learning art. So, you know, you look at a picture, you say it's nice. Well, what makes a painting nice? What about it is nice, not nice, yes, nice, I don't know, it's nice. That's about all I can say. So an artist might tell you it looks just right. Somebody who's got more chachma will tell you, will speak to you about symmetry, about color, about balance, about this, about that, the other thing. And for a long time, you have a lot of bits and pieces of information, but you don't have anything clicked together. The final stage is when the pieces come together and the original statement of what makes a painting nice is the sum total of all the pictures. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have created the world with one statement, that would be as ununderstandable to us as HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I can't understand the world with all of its different issues, with the tremendous Ches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tremendous Puranyos and Din and Hest upon him and strange things and Rishoyim Sintmat Sliach, the whole mass of it as one unit, I don't understand. Doesn't make any sense to me. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills a third of Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuilds Klai Yisrael in 50 years? Doesn't the whole thing, that's what I'm asking. My Shaila is Mazeh. I can teach a lot of details. I can teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Adin, I can teach about Hester Parim and so on. Each prat is a nice prat, but then I end up with a lot of gods. The final stage is where the pieces click together and I understand one inyan out of pieces. In the number system, like we said, the numbers here are used for the quality. Creating the world with one dibur means that the world is as accessible to us as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way to break it into two pieces. There's no way to take it apart. It's like it's like when you have a hakira and a gemara, you take the gemara apart into two possibilities, into three possibilities. Here the world would have to come as one lump sum. Either you get it or you don't get it. That is creating the world with one. Creating the world with many, but not ten, means seven is seven different fragments. It's a lot of different pieces. So I would dehair the world as this meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, other meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I would not dehair it in any sense as a cohesive whole. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, the world is pieces, and that's it. Ten is the number where the many pieces become one again. In other words, nine little pieces are nine little pieces. Ten pieces is one new unit that consists of ten subdivisions. So ten is the ability to take a lot of the pieces and put them together to one again. That's the quality of the numbers when we speak of one, many, or ten. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas are listed usually as ten. And Asarim Amoris Nivra Olam. Asarim Amoris Nivra Olam reflects that quality. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the world with one unit, it would be either boom or bust. There wouldn't be any way to deal with bits and pieces. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the world in many, but he created ten Amamarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas are always considered to be ten. The divided into ten means, when it says that there are ten spheres, I could say there's 1,000 spheres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Dvar Hashem that creates cantaloupes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Dvar Hashem that creates desktops. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Dvar Hashem that creates... I mean, there's not a problem to find a trillion Dvar Hashems, but that gives me no information more than the bits and pieces. Just like in the olden days, the primitive counting system was making lines. So lines are very neat. You know, one line, two line, I have one piece of orange, one, two, three. But I can't do more with those lines than I can do with the oranges. It's a little more convenient to write down the lines, but I can't add lines, subtract lines, divide lines. It just pieces. The chachma of ten is the ability to take pieces, make them back into one unit again. A parenthetical remark, which people get stuck on, it's true of any number system. In computers, they use 16 digits for each space. You can use two. It's true. Any number system is will the last one. If you have a 16-digit system, then it'll be the 16th. But Lemaisa, it's not going. The natural number system for people is 10. Whether it's because you have 10 fingers makes no difference. And the number 10 for us means that. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a it means it created with a lot of pieces that come together to a cohesive whole. So when you're talking about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reach down to the Mitzrim itself, so the first 9 stages of Makis are different elements of Mitzrayim, different bits and pieces of it. The 10th is the thing itself. And that's what he says is the Atzmius itself. Every person has different bits and pieces of his personality, but the Metzius of the person himself is the 10th, because the 10th is the sum total of all the bits and pieces. So the 10th Makkah was the Makkah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit home. 9 Makkas never reached the Mitzrayim itself. Ad Asiri, Shehoya Magilas Nagamri, Ki Asiri Huha Etzim. The Asiri is the thing itself. I think over on the bottom is quoted the Milus of Asiri, because it is the thing itself. V'yadua, Ki Adova Shurish, the things that are first, Yoisu Rorlios Etzim. Ki Ha Etzim Ua Rishain. Vasha enoi be'etzem enoi rishayin. V'lakach maka asiris bereisha shalahem shu'a b'chor. Ka maka asiris ha'isa ba'atzma legamri v'dova shu rishayin hu etzem yaisa. So here he seems to say almost a stira. He says the atzmius of the thing is the first thing, and he says the tenth thing. Be'emes, you have that stira, so to speak, reflected in Kedusha. You have Truma, which is the Reishis, which is the first, and you have Maisa, which is the tenth, the last piece. So the Pshat in the resolution of it is, it says Seif Maisa Machshava Tchila, that whatever was the last piece in the puzzle is really the first one mitzad the Machshava. For instance, the famous Mashal, if a person decides he wants to build a house, the first thing he has is a dream of a house, and then he goes through a long process of putting it together. The last piece should be identical to the first piece, except that it's on a different plane. 10 is one, except that it's the one when all the pieces have been put into place. So there is kedusha in both parts of it. You've got to mark off kedusha on the rishayim, and you got to mark off kedusha on the asiri. In Tishrei, we mark off kedusha on the first day and on the tenth day. There's the asiri lechaydish and there's the echad lechaydish, the rishon. The kedusha's rishon is more of a root kedusha. It's kind of the ratios of something. And it's very, for instance, let's take a person's when you start training a person, we start teaching somebody. So what you have when you start teaching, you always say it should be b'ktusha, should be b'tar, and so on, because basically you're trying to give him direction. You're starting him off with a certain direction. The finishing point should be the finishing point of that direction. In other words, the asiri is the development of the rishon. So Rishon and Asiri are both identical. If you were successful, the Asiri brings you back to the one that the Rishon was, except that the Asiri is the fleshed out version of what the Rishon has potentially. So Bechoros are the Rishon of Mitzrayim, the first point of Mitzrayim. So that's the Atzmius of Mitzrayim. You reach that point after you peeled away. In other words, we start with Mitzrayim as a fully blown up. Let's take an example. Let's say you're fighting a country or a movement. You're fighting a terrorist group. So the terrorist group has a core of an extraordinarily dedicated person or people who built up a group, who created a movement, who have a following. So when you're going to break now, until you don't break through to the core, you didn't get any place. You're just cutting off bits and pieces of the end, and it'll regenerate. So you really want to reach the innermost layer. The innermost layer is the 10th point, so to speak, from outside in. It's the point that you pass by every outer layer until you got to the core. And it is the first point when you're going from inside out. So when you're going from outside in, it's the 10th point when you're coming from inside. So Bechor is the Reishis, it's the core, it's the primary Nekuda, and it's coming from the outside. The 10th maka reach into the Reishis. Because the maka started on the periphery of Mitzrayim, they kept getting closer and closer until they got to the core of Mitzrayim. And when you say something goes from A to B, you automatically, we spoke about this a while back, pinpoint three stages. You pinpoint, I think we spoke about the Shabbos actually, you pinpoint where you're starting from, where you're going to, and the process in the middle. So, each one is a separate entity. The first three makas was one thing. The second one, they were already scared of dying. And so on, like we said before, each one was another point inwards. And then he goes through, I want to skim through the next paragraph on Kuf Lamed Aleph, where he goes, each one was a step further into Mitzrayim, until finally Makas Bechoros was the very core of it. His Bayalochai says, Seda Makas Eilu, Sheyitomed Miskarvin at Shegir Bachoyna Atzma Legamri. He kept getting closer till it hit home, the very core of Mitzrayim. Now I finished off the Perek with a Chazal. Ubemedrish, Bishchus Shenesnasa Avroam Basoynes Yoynes. In the schus that Avram was tested with 10 tests, Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Asor Negoyim Al Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch brought 10 Negoyim Mitzrayim. Ubir Zer, Ki Esa Nesyonos Nesnas Avram Ke Livchen Amitas Atzmoy. The morale explains, the Mishnah puts it in one lump. Asor HaMakis, Asor HaMamores, Asor Nesyonos. What is Asor Nesyonos? Why 10 Nesyonos? So this he says, and this is a very important nekuda in Avodas Hashem. We saw it a little bit in the show. We spoke recently about it. One of the problems that we have in working on ourselves, changing Avodas Hashem, is we see ourselves as one layer. So today I'm sitting and learning very shtak. Tomorrow I'm not in the mood to learn. So the way we understand it is, either I'm a bad boy today, or I'm a faker yesterday, or I did or I didn't. We have a hard time with it because we're not consistent. And then something happens. Somehow we're always taught that the people who do it right go from A to Z and without hiccuping in the way. And if you do hiccup, it's an issue, it's a horror. And so that picture is a very flat picture. And it's really, really lacking in understanding what a person is, and what the hashgacha is leading to. So, someone once gave like a sort of a tzir. He wrote an article to somebody in Eretz Yisrael, Solomon, David Solomon. He writes in Hebrew, and some very, very insightful articles. And he writes about a person in Bnei Brak who lives like very frum and very erlich, and you know, he stopped his bemut and so on. He goes downstairs and he sees a new car parked in front of the house. That's all, the car is not even that in labor accident. And he says to himself, who could it be? It's not that. It must be the neighbor that got a new car. How does he manage to get a car? And I don't. And then he gets very shocked to himself, like, where did the jealousy come from, and so on and so forth. And he kind of portrays the person finding like a black evil person inside him. That's the way he describes it very well, like the shock that the person has in himself. The truth is, a person's psyche is really visualized as layers of personality. And each, I mean, it says so in Fush, it says that there are five daggers to the nefesh. There's nefesh, there's ruach, neshama, so on. There are layers of a person. And just like skin, a skin itself has a whole lot of layers. And you can take off the very top layer, not the next layer. You can take it to one after that. The body is built layers, layers, and layers. This isn't foolish. I mean, there are mashalim in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha is to develop a person. And you cannot start by going for the heart. It doesn't work. You can't just shoot in and that's it. It's a process of working one layer at a time, and as a layer gets worked out, you uncover a second layer and a third layer and a fourth layer. I assume the process is close to endless, because the a person's nefesh is extraordinarily deep. So each time a person, in the mashal he gives, Revolve is a person who's been sitting and learning very well, and all of a sudden it's a beautiful spring day outside. And he says to himself, I'm just out of the mood to learn, I want to go out, or whatever it is. So it's not a percham what was. It's fine. The first layer of self is sitting and learning. Now there's a second layer. And this is affected by what's around you, and you haven't dealt with it yet. All it means is there's another layer of yourself that you now need to deal with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Asar Nisyonos meant that every single layer, every single nisoyon was directed at a layer, and we test. It's just like I had a root canal done, 35 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was pretty backward then. So it was like 5 or 6 visits, and the part of the process was each time you would go, and he would start sticking a needle in until it started bleeding and or hurting or whatever it is, and when he finished that, send you back for a second visit, till he got to a point where wherever he stuck was dead. There was nothing bleeding, nothing moving, nothing. And it was kind of getting each layer to get rid of the pus, the blood vessel, whatever it is, a layer at a time. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with a person. It's a layer at a time. And therefore, each nisoyan deals with one part of person. When Avraham Avinu was tested with Asar Nisyonos, it means that to the very core he became Avraham Avinu. Ki asaras nisyonos nisazavam kedei livchein amitas atzmai, to test the very self. We quoted last time the pasuk by Iov. Iov went through a lot of tzaras, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the satan, no, did you find anybody as good as Iov? Listen, you've tested him, you've taken away his kids, his possessions, everything, and he's kept faith strong. So he says, well, let me just try to touch he himself. Let's try to stick a needle into the person himself. We've done all the callus around him. It's just like when you shave off the callus, doesn't feel anything. Let's try some live meat and see if we, some live flesh, and see what kind of reaction we get. And then Eo starts cursing. So Avraham Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu went all the way through, and then he said, Ki lefamim mara odam atzmai tzadik. Sometimes a person sees himself. He doesn't mean shows himself as a tzaddik. He sees himself as a tzaddik. He really feels he's a tzaddik, but it's not. I want to share a story with you. It's a it brings out the point very well. It's written. There's a book called Chassidim Anshei Maisa by Kitov. I heard it's been translated in English. In Hebrew, it's extraordinarily beautiful and deep. It's so-called Siddush stories, but they are full of depth and chachma, and there's a lot to it. He was a very profound writer, Kito. And they're based on stories that are kayam, but he brings out the beauty in them. Kotzk, he writes about Kotzk, Chassidus. Kotzk was very, very, very into getting to the emes of something. wherever you were holding an Avodas Hashem, the point was there's another layer to go, and it's superficial. And it really eliminated very few people who remained Kosher Chassidim, because they just, at some point, you just don't want to keep going further. You don't want to spend a life in chemo. You know, you'd like to say, okay, I'm healthy and I'm good. But that was there at Mahala. So there's one very big chassid, I think his name is Aaron Bialystok, a big chassid, who wherever he went looked for emes and anshe emes. And he came to a town, and there was a person there that was known as a very, very big, as a big tzaddik. That really piqued his interest. He loved big tzaddikim. So they told this person had lost his wife many years ago when he was young, and since then he would sit in shul all day, fasting away all week long, and just sit with towels and tefillin, and some tzaddikim would bring him like food for Shabbos, and he'd be kind of oblivious to everything around him, a real tzaddik. So he sat down next to him and decided to kind of get a grasp of him. Looks at that. Finally, some kids are coming around badgering him. So he turns to the kids and he says, Kinderlach, he says, how dare you disrupt such a great and holy tzaddik who fasts Mondays and Thursdays? And the guy blurts out, no, it's all week long that I fast. So he says, the person like was stunned. And then he said he immediately broke his fast. He didn't even need Hataras Nedarim, because he realized it was all a mistake. It wasn't Sitkis, it was just bitterness over his wife's death. But the point was, if the person who was, you know, if he could blurt it out on an off moment, it showed that down deep it was just kind of a carrying on, whatever was the motive was. He has not, the second story is not relevant. The second story, I mean, the second story is also like where there was this man whose big tzitkas was he'd be in the bathhouse and offered to scrub anybody's back. Scrubbing people's backs in the bathhouse was considered to be from the least honorable chesed and obligations around. It was like it was relegated to the town, you know, to the last guy on a totem pole. So this guy would go around and say, I'm a Russia, and then all I'm good for is this. And everybody said, no, chas v'sholem, he's a big tzaddik, and Russia, tzaddik, Russia. You know, that was, so he decided we got to test him also. So the guy comes to him and says, Rabid, can you do me a favor? Can you let a sinner like me rub your back? So he says, definitely so. He says, but come up, you know, it's cold down here, because in a sauna, the higher up you go, the higher it is. So he starts running up the steps, and the poor guy's running after him, and he can barely hold his breath, and he up and down, and down. Then he says, okay, starts, says, you're not rubbing hard enough, fair stuff, this way, that way, the other way. And the guy says, finally, bloodside, he says, what do you think I am? Your gopher? You know, like a little respect for me. So he writes, but this person never felt he did something wrong, because with anivus you can never convince that they're wrong. Hanovim, you can never convince they're wrong. That was like, that's the way he ends the story. But in this point, you know, a person, it's shallow to say fake or true. It's a question at what layer. Nisyonos and Ashkoch are an ongoing process, and that's why it goes in waves. A person's matzliach, things go well, and then there's the next wave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to go a step further. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Baruch Hu Avraham Sionis Sionis Tilamitz Atzma Kassiris Etzem Adover. The tenth is getting to the Nekud himself. Ulekach Nisnase Besar Nisyonos Ache Nifchan Ika Atzmai Ubezer Nifchan Legamri Ukumoikach Kashahivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amakis Al Mitzrim Hevi Esem Makis Deshiti Amakis Bamitas Atzem Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the essence of Mitzrayim, not just the build-up. Person who understands should add more than what I've explained. You can't explain everything. I leave it up to you, he says, to use your mind. Okay, we'll hold it here.